James chapter 4, and look if you would, starting at verse 13. James chapter 4, verse 13. Says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for these folks to come out on a Sunday afternoon, Lord, just to hear your word preached and to sing praises to you. And Lord, I just pray that you'll bless them for being here, Lord. I pray that you'll bless those, Lord, who want to be here or just unable to. Lord, I pray to just minister to those folks. And Father, I just pray that you comfort them. And Lord, help this church to be a blessing to them any way we can. Father, I pray that you'll just continue to help this situation, Lord, with this sickness to go away, Lord, so we can get back to having our church full, Lord, and having the fellowship that we once had. And I just pray, Father, that this will be soon. Now tonight, Father, I just pray that you'll preach through me. And Lord, that you'll preach me despite me, Lord, and despite my shortcomings, that you'll just speak to the hearts of these folks. Lord, they came here to hear from you. And so, Lord, I just pray you'll speak to our hearts tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want you to pay particular attention to a certain verse here. Even though all this is talking about certainly making plans, and we don't know what tomorrow holds. I mean, and our life is short. The Bible says it's just like a vapor. And, you know, and we were just this past week, we were thinking about how, you know, time flies and how, you know, when we saw certain people and, you know, that we haven't seen in a long time, how, you know, the kids grow up and we get older, and it seems just like yesterday that we were kids ourselves. And certainly this is talking about that in verses 13 through 16, and talks about how rejoicing, you know, in your boastings about the things that we're going to do. And we always say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. But it says you ought to say, if the Lord willing, I'll do that. Because we're not guaranteed of tomorrow. I mean, if the Lord has decided that today's your day, you will have no tomorrow. And so therefore it says that when you're boasting about what you're doing, if you're rejoicing in those boastings, it says such rejoicing is evil. But what I want you to notice tonight is verse 17. Because verse 17 is talking about something that is not preached about very often. It says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I want to talk to you tonight on the subject of the sin of not doing what you ought to do. The sin of not doing what you ought to do. Now, we all have a habit of putting sins in certain categories, and in some ways that's right. I mean, when we think about sins, we know that there are moral sins, the sins of the flesh. The Bible talks about those sins such as adultery, fornication, things like that, sins of the flesh. We also talk about some temperamental types of sins, things like anger, harshness, unkindness, things like that. Then, of course, we sometimes speak about spiritual sins, which are really the worst of all, because we know that these spiritual sins that we can commit are bad. And you know, but when we think about all these different sins, and you think about, you know, everything in the Bible that's called a sin, you know how utterly ridiculous it is for somebody to think that you could possibly stay saved on your own without the Lord keeping you saved? I mean, man, every time you turn around, you'll be sinning. You wouldn't even realize it. I mean, you'd be sinning all the time just by almost existing, just sitting there. You know, if you're thinking and you're able to think and you're able to talk and you're able to walk, then you are a sinner. That's just the way it is. Because the Bible lists so many different types of sins. But perhaps, you know, one of the worst sins, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight, is a sin of not doing what you ought to do. Now, when we think of sin, most of us think of pride right off the bat. And that's not necessarily wrong, because pride is the one that kind of got the whole thing going. because it was pride that was found in Lucifer, and that's what made him fall. The Bible says that God resists the proud. Pride was the thing that made Lucifer say, you know, I will ascend to the throne of God. And the Bible says that pride goeth before destruction and haughty spirit before a fall. When it comes to sin, certainly we can say that pride is one of the worst sins that there is. We can also think of many other sins that we commit. But, you know, in general, really, there's only two types of sins. I mean, of all the sins in the Bible, there's really only two types. You have the what we call the sins of commission, which is the sin of doing the things that we should not do. Amen? I mean, that's the sin of commission, doing something that we should not do. And then you say, well, what is that? Things like lying, stealing. I mean, we all understand we shouldn't lie and steal. Amen? That's doing the things that we should not do. Ten Commandments has a list of things that we should not do. If you do those things, then you're sinning. Okay? But there's also the sins of omission, and that is failing to do what we ought to do. Failing to do what we ought to do. So you have the sins of commission, which are sins that we do that we ought not to do, and then you have the sins of omission, which are sins that we ought to do, and yet we don't do them. Now, if you'll remember, in Romans chapter 7, Paul spoke about both of these types of sins. He spoke about the sins of commission, doing things that he ought not do, and then he talked about not doing the things that he should do. Here's what he said in Romans 7:19. He says, "For the good that I would, I do not." That's a sin of omission. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. That's the sin of commission. Well, right there, he just told you that there are things that he knows to do, but he doesn't do them. And there are things that he does and he knows he ought not do them. And folks, that is basically the two types of sins that there are. All sins fall in one of those two categories. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. Now, the perfect example of the sin of omission really is found in Matthew chapter 25. Turn, if you will, over to Matthew chapter 25. I'm just going to kind of show you, you know, the examples and what the Lord had to say about it. And believe it or not, the sin of omission is mentioned so many more times in the Bible than what you would think. It's taught many, many times. But yet so often we think that the only time we sin is when we do something that we shouldn't do. And that's the way we think about it. But when you're reading the Bible, you're going to find out that the sin of omission is mentioned many, many times. Now, in Matthew chapter 25, certainly this is one time it's mentioned. In Matthew chapter 25, remember, there are people at the end of the tribulation, when the Lord comes back to rule and reign. These people made it through the tribulation, and they're still alive. They did not die during the tribulation, even though the Bible says many will die. In fact, the Bible says that time is going to be so bad, the Lord didn't come back as soon as he does, that no flesh would survive. But these people here, they survived the tribulation, and now the Lord is coming back, and it's time for judgment. So in Matthew chapter 25 here, the Lord is here at the lake of fire, is sitting here on this earth, and the Lord has bring these people over, and what he's done is he has separated them between the sheep and the goats, the nations, the sheep nations and the goat nations. But in Matthew chapter 25, look if you would at verse 41, and notice what he says. He says, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Now, that verse right there teaches so much. I mean, we could teach an entire sermon or two or three sermons just on that one. Number one, remember this. Everlasting fire was prepared for who? The devil and his angels. It was never prepared for any human being. How many of you understand that? Now listen, when people start to say that God chooses who goes to hell and who goes to heaven before the foundation of the world, that verse right there knocks it down. Why? It was never prepared for any human being. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. "Then shall ye say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat." Question. The right thing was for them to be given meat. Amen? But he said he was hungered, and you gave me no meat. "I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. And ye naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they answer unto him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered or thirst or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And thee shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. What that passage is talking about are the people that it's not talking so much about the things that these people did. It's talking about the things that they ought to have done and didn't. That's what the passage is talking about. It's a sin of omission. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is a sin. Now, I want you to understand about this sin of not doing, the things that we ought to do. I want you to understand a few things about it tonight as we look at this thing. And one of the things I want you to notice about is this. The sin of omission is one of the hardest things in our lives for us to recognize. And what I mean by that is this. When we start, how many of you, if you're not right with God, then the Lord's not going to answer your prayers. Amen? One of the things I do is, but when I first start to pray, is I will immediately confess my sins to the Lord, because I want to make sure I'm right with Him when I'm talking to Him. I want Him to hear my prayers. I want Him to answer my prayers, those sorts of things. But I've noticed that when I start to pray, I start to evaluate my prayers, and the things that I'm confessing are the things generally that I did wrong. I did this, and I shouldn't have done that. I did this, and I shouldn't have done that. I did this, and I shouldn't have done that. And I've noticed that the sins of omission are omitted a lot of times. In other words, I don't say, well, Lord, I knew I should have helped this person, but I didn't do it. Now, I'm not saying I want to always do that, but I'm saying that my focus is, it seems to be on the things that I did that I should not have done, rather than focusing on both the things I should have done and the things I didn't do. I'm only focused on one. Why? Because it's a very, very hard sin to recognize sometimes in our lives. The fact that there are so many things that we could be doing that we're not doing. And to us, if we know to do good and we don't do it, it's a sin. And so it's a very hard to see in our lives. Now you'll notice that verse 17 begins with the word therefore. Therefore. And when you see the word therefore in the Bible, you always ask yourself the question, what is therefore, therefore? Why is it there? What's it talking about? And it points you back to what was previously said. You'll recall that the verses just prior to this statement, we're told about the picture of the merchant man, and he was getting ready to go on a business venture, and he tells us all the things that he's going to do. It tells us when the business venture would take place. It says today or tomorrow, it says. So we're told that. It tells us where this business venture would take place. He said, we'll go into such a city. It tells us what the business venture was. It says we're going to buy and sell and we will get gain. It tells us of the things that he's doing. And he's telling us the things that he plans on doing. But yet, here's the problem. The problem is not necessarily what he was going to do was wrong. I mean, going to start in a business somewhere, that's not necessarily wrong in itself. But the problem is it was the sin of not doing what he knew he should have known to do. You say, what is that? Well, it never says here he consulted with God for anything on it. He never prayed about it. He never said, if the Lord wills, I'm going to do it. It was all about what he planned to do. God was completely out of it. And so he wasn't taking God into the matter. He was not seeking the will of God in his life. And that, sometimes that's hard to recognize. May I tell you something, folks? It doesn't matter what you do, whatever decision you're going to make, God needs to stay involved in that. You need to keep God involved in it. Pray and ask him for his will. Find out what he wants you to do, not necessarily what we want to do. And so many times as Christians, we mean well and we say, I'm going to do this for the Lord, and I'm going to go and I'm going to do this for the Lord, and I'm going to glorify the Lord by doing this, but we never ask him if that's his will. You see, that's our will. And may I tell you that when you know to do good and you don't do it, it's a sin. Now, how many of you know that you should ask, if you should pray and ask what the Lord's will is before you do something? If you don't do that, folks, and you know to do it, would you agree that that's a sin? Absolutely. That's what this guy did here in James. You see, he made all these plans, but God was never in it. And then it says, therefore, for him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. Because he was talking about what just happened. And so it's talking about the sin of omission. And when you study the Bible, you're going to find out that there are many places where Jesus condemns this sin that's so hard for us to recognize. If you remember one time when Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, the Bible says that there was a fig tree. And the closer they got to the fig tree, he walked over there and there were no figs on it. How many of you know what he did to that fig tree? He cursed it. Now, why did he do that? Well, it wasn't doing what it was made to do. It never produced any figs. Do you remember, in fact, do you realize that when he cursed that fig tree, that is the only destructive miracle that I'm aware of that the Lord ever performed, is when he cursed that fig tree. Why did he do it? Because the fig tree did not do what a fig tree is designed to do. It was a sin of omission. What about the parable that Jesus told about the talents? How many remember the parable of the talents? You know, where one was given 5 talents, one was given 2 talents, one was given 1. And the man with the 5 talents, he went and invested it and made 5 other talents. You know what the Lord said to that man? The Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He knew what to do, and he did it. The one with the 2 talents went and invested his 2 talents, and the Lord said to him the same thing. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But the one with 1 talent, the Bible says that he took that talent, and he hid that talent in a napkin. He didn't do anything with it at all. And Jesus, here's what Jesus said to him. He said, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. That's a sin of not doing what you ought to do. And he said, and rather than saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant, hey, listen, he comes back and he still got the talent that the Lord gave him. And listen, did he do anything wrong? No, he didn't really do anything wrong. The problem was is he didn't do what he knew was right. And that's the reason the Lord says, you wicked and slothful servant. It's not enough. I gave you that. I expected you to do something with it. And you knew that I expected you to do something with it, but you didn't do it. The sin of omission. I'll tell you what, there's quite a big difference between what he told those other servants and what he told that last one, because he didn't do what he knew to do. Not only that, but there's another parable that Jesus told, that this was the parable of the Good Samaritan, where we're told that the man came from Jerusalem down the road on Jericho Road, and the Bible says that man fell among thieves. And he was over on the side of the road, and the Bible says a priest came by, and the priest was supposed to be someone who ministered to the people. He was to have a heart of compassion. He was to minister in love and to take care of people. But the priest came by and saw the condition of the man, and he saw the need of the man. And you know what he did? Absolutely nothing. Just kept on walking by. Bible says later a Levite came by. The Levite knew that what the law was. He knew he was a specialist in the law. He knew everything that the law said a person was to do. Yet what did the Levite do? Absolutely nothing. Kept on walking right on by. Then the Good Samaritan came by, and he did what needed to be done. He did what was right. The sin of not doing, folks, is a hard thing to recognize in our lives. And I'm going to tell you that when we're confessing our sins before the Lord, don't always concentrate on the things that you did that you knew were wrong. Think about the things that you could have done that you knew were right. And when you start to think about that, you're going to find out you have a whole lot more to confess to the Lord than what you normally do. Because I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say every one of us in just this past week could have done a whole lot more than what we did, and we know it. And we know it. To him to know, do good and doeth not, to him is sin. And so, but I will say this, when it comes to Christians and the Christian life, you know, a lot of times we define Christianity on the basis of things that we don't do. In other words, we say sometimes, well, if I don't do this, or if I don't do that, then I'm going to be a good Christian. In other words, sometimes people will take this and say, well, you know, if I don't smoke and if I don't drink, if I don't dip or chew, then I'm a good Christian. And sometimes we think that way. Okay, now I'm not saying that, I'm not condoning those things, but I am going to tell you, and I will tell you this, if you're doing those things, you need to continue to grow in the Lord and get past those things, all right? I had a person tell me a long time ago, one of the worst testimonies a person could ever do is spit on the ground when you're a Christian. That's just a bad testimony, okay? But I'm not going to get into the use of tobacco tonight, maybe in a couple of weeks, but I'm going to tell you this. That's a bad testimony to do those sorts of things. And I understand that Christians in the past used to smoke cigars. I understand that. Charles Spurgeon used to smoke a cigar years ago. But you know, as the world changes, and it's called testimony. Today, it's not socially acceptable to do that. Today, when the world looks at those things, we want to make sure our testimony is clean. We want to glorify the Lord in everything that we do. But a lot of Christians, they think that there's... if we don't do certain things, then that makes me a good Christian. On the other hand, you have the Christian who says, if I do this and I do that and I do this and I do that, that makes me a good Christian. But hey, listen, you know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to be faithful to the Lord, do what He tells us to do, and when He tells, you know, when we know to do good, do good. If you know not to do bad, don't do bad. And that is pleasing the Lord. That's glorifying the Lord. That's what is being a good Christian. It's not necessarily a list of do's and don'ts. It's being faithful and having the right heart and the right motive. But the Bible does say, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It is a sin that's very hard for us to recognize. I'll tell you the second thing about this sin of omission, the sin of not doing what we know to do, and to that being a sin. And that is, not only is it hard to recognize in our own lives, but this sin can be very, very destructive. Now, listen. All sin is destructive because the Bible says that the wage of sin is death. Amen? And certainly there are consequences for every sin. It doesn't matter what sin it is, there's a consequence to pay. But not doing what you ought to be doing can cause a great deal of damage in many areas of our lives. In the Old Testament, we're told the account of King David, who had brought the kingdom into its glory. He had had many great victories. He had killed his 10,000s. I mean, he had done many great things. The Lord had done great things through David. He had brought the kingdom to a place that it had never seen before. But the Bible says that there was a time when kings went forth to battle, and yet David tarried at Jerusalem. He was not doing what he ought to have been doing. How many of you see that? All the other kings were out to battle. That's where David should have been. But that's not where he was. How'd that work out for David? You see, it can be destructive. If a person today chooses not to do something that he ought to do, if he chooses not to do the right thing that he ought to do, it can be very destructive. Just ask David. He'll tell you how destructive it was. He wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. And he ended up committing adultery, committed murder. And the sin of this omission could be a very destructive thing. Not only that, but it'd be very destructive to the family. The sin of not doing can destroy relationships in the family. Did you know that it's not always the things that people do in a marriage that causes problems? Many times it's what people don't do in a marriage that causes problems. You know, it's like the one wife said to her husband, "You don't ever tell me you love me anymore." And he said, I told you I loved you when I married you. If I ever change my mind, I'll let you know. Well, let me tell you something, folks. Well, you know, I tell you this. I've met a lot of people that after something happened, they say, I should have told them that I loved them. I should have told them. I've done marriage counseling where people, both spouses say, well, you know what? My wife or my husband, they never tell me that they love me. I don't even know that he loves me. He never tells me he loves me. Now, I tell you something, folks. Listen, if you love your spouse, and you better, tell her you love her. Tell your husband, ladies, that you love him. Why? It's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. Hey, I'll even take it a step further. There's nothing wrong with telling your children that you appreciate them and you love them too. It's a good thing to do. And children, there's nothing wrong with you telling your parents that you love them and appreciate them. Amen? Well, we should. We should. But I'll tell you this. When people quit doing what they know to be right, it causes problems, and it causes problems in the marriage. Now, turn, if you would, over to Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32. I'll tell you another place where this sin of omission can cause a lot of problems, and that's right here in the church. It can cause problems. Now, in Numbers 32, I'm going to read you a part of a verse that generally we as preachers and many Christians take it totally out of context to teach something different than what it was intended to teach. In Numbers 32, here's that statement in verse 23. It says, "And be sure your sin will find you out." Now, I have that sticker on the back of my truck that says that very same thing. And, you know, sometimes when we talk to sinners, we say, "Be sure your sin will find you out," because we're telling them that they're going to be caught and that you're going to die and you'll be in your sins. And all that's true. I mean, if you sin, eventually it's going to come. It's going to be exposed. Think about those people who murdered somebody in the past and it had been years and they never did find the guy. But all of a sudden, somebody talks or somebody says something. Even though it's years later, they end up catching the guy. Why? Be sure your sin will find you out. That's the way we teach that. But that's not necessarily the way it was used in that passage. Okay, I'll give you an example. Here, I'm going to read you the rest of it. And notice the sin of omission here. It says in verse 23, it says, "But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." Whoops, there's a sin of omission there. If you will not do so. You say, what sin of omission is it talking about? Listen, when you read that whole passage there, here's what's going on in the context there. Remember when they came up to the promised land the second time? The first time they came to the promised land, they believed the 10 spies. And because of that, then the Lord said, okay, everybody 20 years old and older are going to die except for Caleb and Joshua. Took them back out in the wilderness. But then, eventually, he brings them back to the promised land. And they're sitting there getting ready to cross over. And there's 2.5 tribes that say, wait a second, we don't want to cross over. We want to stay on this side of the Jordan. And the rest of you can go over there. So what Moses does is, okay, I'll tell you what, when it comes time for battle, and there's going to be battles because, I mean, we've got all the inhabitants of the land that God said wipe out. So we're going to go up against Jericho. We're going to go against Ai. We're going to go up against Philistines. We're going to go up against the Jebusites and all these different inhabitants of the land. And when we go in there and we're in battle, we're going to need you with us to fight in this battle. And he says this, if you choose not to go over and fight with us, be sure your sins will find you out. That's the context. That's the context. And here is the sin of omission there. The right thing for those 2.5 tribes to do is to go over and help the children of Israel in that battle, be a part of that battle. But they choose not to do that which is right. It's a sin. And that's the reason in that passage says, but if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord. Be sure your sins will find you out. And may I tell you today that there are a lot of Christians I know that instead of getting over the land of victory, they like it over where it's closer to the things of the world. In other words, rather than being where the Lord wants them to be in this life, which would be the equivalent of the children of Israel going into the promised land, the land that was promised them, hey, listen, do you realize the Lord promised you a life of peace and a life of joy as a Christian? He never said that things weren't going to go tough from time to time. He never said you wouldn't face trials, but he did say this, that we're going to have joy and peace as Christians, if we're right with the Lord and we're trusting in Him. Now, listen. There are a lot of Christians. There are a lot of Christians today that, rather than having that joy and peace, they want to walk the fence. They want to be double-minded, and they want to be part of the world. And they never get peace doing that. They're never going to get peace on the other side where they say, "Well, listen. I want some of the world. I want to be worldly. I want to do the things that the world wants. But then again, I also want to do what God wants." And they think that they can get peace like that. But you can't get peace like that. You can't get joy like that. The only way you can get true peace and joy is do it the way God wants you to do it and sell out to Him. That's where peace and joy is. A lot of Christians don't want to do that. May I tell you something today, and I know that this is blunt, but I'm just going to go ahead and throw it out there. If you do not sell out to the Lord and totally commit to Him your life, you know that's what you're supposed to be doing. You know that's what you're supposed to be doing. The Bible already said that if you're friends of the world, that's enmity against God. You can't mix the world and God. And so many Christians, they try to do that. They try to say, okay, I'm going to be worldly and I'm going to live a Christian life. You can't please God like that. You can't. And you know the only way you can please God is to be sold out to Him. That's the only way you can please Him. But yet so many Christians choose not to. So many Christians choose to be on the other side of Jordan. No, on the wrong side of Jordan. Because they want it both ways. They want the world, they want the things of the world and the things of God. To him to knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. It's a sin. Not doing the things that we're supposed to be doing. And that's what happens many, many times. There are people today that knows in this church, you know, they want things to get better. I mean, they want this church to grow. But yet they're not willing to do what needs to be done. There are a lot of people today who want this church to prosper, but they don't want to make their sacrifices to help this church prosper. They're not willing to serve. They're not willing to do anything. There are people, they want people to be saved, but they're not willing to invite anybody to church. They want the church to be financially, able to do things, take on other missionaries, but they're not willing to give. They want the church to be, to grow spiritually, but they're not willing to pray for this church. They're not willing to pray for the people in there. And may I tell you, that is the sin of not doing what you ought to do. It's a sin of not doing what you ought to do. So it can certainly have its impact on the church. The sin of not doing what you ought to do can also have an impact on your spiritual growth as well. In other words, it can destroy your effectiveness as a Christian. You know, if you think about this, folks, how can you grow if you never read your Bible? How can you expect to grow? You can't. Is there anybody here that doesn't know you're supposed to be reading your Bible? That Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Is it clear enough for you? It says, study the thing. Now listen, if you say, I believe every word of that Bible. Okay, when it says to study, have you been studying? For him to know what to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. You say, you mean to tell me, Pastor, it's a sin not to read my Bible? According to the Bible it is. It tells you right there, study it. And you say, I'm not going to study it. That's a sin of omission. It's a sin. And that sin is so destructive that it will affect your Christian growth. I'll tell you this, I think one of the biggest problems in Christianity today is Christians overall, they're not growing. They're not growing spiritually. They're saved. They're happy that they're saved, but they have no interest in progressing in their knowledge of the Lord. They have no interest in progressing in the grace that they could grow in. They're satisfied with where they're at. But every Christian should know, every Christian in here should know that the Lord wants you to grow. In fact, we are to be in the image of Christ. He's changing us into the image of Christ. We're supposed to be growing. We're supposed to becoming more like Christ every day. And if you're not, then it's a sin. And it comes from you not reading your Bible. It comes from you not listening to preaching. It can have an effect on your Christian growth. If we're going to become stronger Christians, more mature Christians, so that we can remain steadfast, we've got to do what we know is right. And that is continue to listening to preaching, continue to read our Bible, study our Bible. So we'll be like a tree planted by the waters when things get tough. Every day of your life, we need to take advantage of the spiritual disciplines that the Lord has given us so that we can have victory in our Christian life. And may I tell you that the sin of not doing can be a very destructive thing in the life of the believer. May I tell you something else, and that is the sin is the most destructive sin in the life of a lost person too. There is nothing more destructive than the sin of not doing when it comes to a lost person. If you're here tonight and you're lost, may I tell you that Bible says this. That Bible says the wage of sin is death. Amen? But may I tell you this, everybody has committed sins. Everybody, and everybody still commits sins. But the thing that will, if you look at that Bible and you find out what is it that sends a person to hell, it's not stealing a pen. You pay for that here. You get caught stealing a pen, then somebody will say, you got to buy me another pen. It's not breaking and entering. You get caught with that, you got to pay a price. You go to jail. It's not breaking one of the Ten Commandments. Those are sins, no doubt about it. But are those the sins that send you to hell? No. No, it's not. Listen, every sin that you commit on this earth, you can pay for on this earth. But the sin that will condemn you to hell is the sin of omission. and I'll show it to you. I remember one time I saw a tract, one of the best tracts I ever saw, and I've been trying to get it here in this church. I just don't know where to find it. But the tract basically goes like this. It says, what do you have to do to go to what do you have to do to go to heaven? And then it says, believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And then at the bottom it says, what do you have to do to go to hell? And then it says, open the track. And when you open the track up, the next page is blank. That's a good track, folks. You know what that track's telling you? That you, honestly, if you want to go to hell, all you have to do is do nothing. Do nothing. If you don't, you know why? Let me tell you why that's what'll take you to hell. Because the Bible says that you're condemned already. You don't have to do anything. These people today say, "Well, I tell you what, I'm not gonna choose one way or the other." Too late. You're already condemned. You must do something to be saved. You saw as was that. Believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. You've got to receive Jesus Christ. But if you commit the sin of omission and don't do what you know to do, to you it's sin, and it's the one sin that will condemn you to hell forever. Not doing what you know to do. You know, people come to church, they hear the preacher preach, and the preacher tells them how to be saved. They're not saved, and they sit there like a knot on a log and not do anything, thinking, well, if I just pretend that he didn't, what he said, if I just pretend that there is no God, or if I just pretend that what he said is not true, then I'm off the hook. No, you're not off the hook. You're not off the hook. You've been told what to do. You've been told how to be saved. But if you choose not to do it, it's the one thing that will condemn you to hell. The Bible says in John 3:18, it says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. He's saying, it's not what you do, it's what you don't do. It's what you don't do. It's a sin of omission. Sin of omission. You don't have to do anything to go to hell. All you have to do is fail to do what you ought to do. If you fail to repent, believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the sin of not doing will land you in everlasting flames where the worm dieth not, according to Mark chapter 9. The sin of not doing is hard to recognize in our lives. The sin of not doing is a very destructive sin. And then also the sin of not doing what you ought to do is a sin that leads to certain defects in your life. When you don't do what you ought to do, you have left some things out of your life that should be there. Notice in James chapter 4, look at verse 15. It says, for that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. What he's saying is the will of God is that which makes your life complete. The will of God is that which makes your life well-rounded. There's something defective about your life if you do not do the will of God. The sin of not doing, the sin of not praying for someone, that's defective. It makes it a defective prayer life. Do you realize that there are, you know, I think I heard this past week that there are 7.8 billion people on the earth now. That's a whole lot of people. And it sure is growing awful fast, because I remember when they made a big deal when it hit 6 billion. Now it's 7.8. And may I tell you that you can't pray for everybody. I mean, 7.8 billion people, I mean, if you figure as many people are being born, as many people dying, you can't pray for all 7.8 billion people. But I tell you this, you could pray for somebody, can't you? You pray for somebody. Do you pray for the members of your family? Do you pray for your church? Do you pray for your Christian brothers and sisters? Do you pray for lost people? Do you pray for, you know, do you pray that people's heart will be softened? Here's what Samuel said. Samuel said this. He said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Do you realize every one of us know that we should be praying for each other? Every one of us know that we should be praying for the lost here in Great Falls. Every one of us know that we should be praying for those who are sick and those who need God's intervention. Every one of us know that prayer is something that not only should we be doing, but it's something that other people count on us for. It's a very, very important thing. And everybody in here knows that they ought to be praying all the time. In fact, Paul said, pray without ceasing. Now, if you're one of those people to say, well, you know, I haven't been praying like I should be, then guess what that is according to the Bible? It's a sin. You see, folks, when we start to think about how much we don't do what we should be doing, When you start to think about that, I tell you this, a lot of Christians, we tend to lift ourselves up, and we tend to think that we're real spiritual, and we tend to think that, well, boy, compared to this person over here, did you see what that person did? I would never do that. Well, amen, you should never do that. But how about the things that you know to do and don't do? See, when you think about both sides of that coin, you find out this, that all of us are men most miserable. All of us are sinners, and there ain't one of us that's righteous, not even close. Because we've all sinned the sin of omission and the sin of commission. We've done them both, and we still do it all the time. I'll prove it to you. If I asked you tonight, when was the last time you witnessed to somebody? If I asked you tonight, when was the last time that you invited somebody to come to church? You know that Bible? You know, listen, we were given the Great Commission by the Lord, and we were told what to do. Amen? And if we decide that we're not going to do that, then we are not doing that which is right and those things that we know to do. If I ask you that tonight, and you say, well, Pastor, you know what? I witnessed to somebody. Well, I think it's about 3 weeks ago. Sorry. You've been sinning an awful lot in the last 3 weeks because you haven't asked anybody to come to church. You haven't witnessed to anybody. You haven't had an attract to somebody. Did you not know to do it? Sure you did, but you didn't do it. That's a sin. That sure brings us all down to a low level, doesn't it? Boy, aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus Christ died for all your sins? We wouldn't stand a chance, folks, if he didn't. Because I'm just going to go on a limb and tell you that there's probably more things that we don't do that we know that we should do than those things that we actually do that we know we shouldn't. Paul had the same problem. You read it right in Romans chapter 7, he had the same problem. I'm not saying that we're all filth and everybody else is clean compared to us. No, we're all that way. Paul was arguably one of the greatest Christians in that Bible. He had the same problems. He was committing those sins all the time. Here's what we're to do, though. We're to treat that sin of omission the same way we treat all the other sins. We are to get on our knees before the Lord. We are to confess that sin to him every single day. Because I'm going to tell you right now, just today alone, I bet you that every one of us, at least 5 or 6 times, knew to do something that was right and you didn't do it. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. You heard somebody say, hey, you know, this is going on. We need to pray for that. But you haven't prayed for that person yet. Maybe when you went home, you say, you know what, I should have read my Bible today a little bit. I mean, after all, it is the Lord's Day. And, you know, the Bible says that we should give unto the Lord. We should give him our first fruits. And we should give those things to the Lord. And certainly we should make a day for the Lord. But maybe you didn't make today a day for the Lord. Maybe you didn't spend time with the Lord. Maybe you don't really pray a whole lot except over your meals. But you know you should be praying more than that. You know, one of the things, and I'm going to close because if I don't, I'm going to get off on a rabbit trail. But you know, one of the things that bugs me is when I'm talking to Christians and I hear them say, yeah, I know I should be in church more, but I just, you know, I got all these things going on. Yeah, I know I should be praying more, but yeah, I just, you know, sometimes I just don't pray like I should. I know I should be reading that Bible. Hey, you know what he's doing? He's admitting the sin of omission. What he's saying is this, is I'm just a dirty sinner and I'm messing up and I'm not doing the things I know I should be doing. Is that you tonight? Is that you tonight? Are you doing the things that you know to be right? Are you witnessing to folks? You reading your Bible? Are you praying? And I don't mean just praying about the people on the prayer list, though they need our prayers a lot, folks. But you have a whole town of lost people that if that rapture to happen right now, they would be in bad shape. If they die right now, they would they'd open their eyes up in hell. And you know what you're supposed to be doing. You know you're supposed to be out there witnessing to them. This church has hundreds of tracts, hundreds of them. And listen, even if you say, well, I just don't know what to say. Okay, then hand them a tract and say enjoy and keep on going. Amen? It's called distributing the Word of God. And on that, it has a track. And on that, it has the gospel. It tells them how to be saved. And if you say, well, listen, I'd rather do it just one-on-one. Okay, put the track in your pocket and start talking to the person then. But do something. Don't just sit there and say, well, I know I should be doing it and not doing it. That's a horrible thing. And sometimes we make light of it. Sometimes people think, well, if I know I should be reading my Bible, but I don't read it like I should. As if that's somehow not as bad as committing adultery or committing other sins. That Bible says if you've broken one commandment, you've broken them all. And you not doing what you know to be true, what you know you should be doing, is just as bad as breaking any of those Ten Commandments. Oh, and by the way, one of those is murder. The Ten Commandments. Can you imagine that? You not doing what you know to be true, what you know to do, you not doing that, to you it's sin. And you have sin that's, you break one commandment, you broke them all. And I tell you tonight, I think we all have sinned a whole lot more than what we think we have. I think we all have. When you think about both of those types of sins. Tonight, maybe you're one of those people that says, you know what, Pastor, I've never been saved. I've never been saved before. I've never been born again. I don't know if I'm going to, you know, I don't think I'm going to be in heaven if I die. Well, the only way that you could possibly go to heaven or go to hell is just don't do anything. This is how you'll be saved. Believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. There it is. That's what you have to do. You have to believe that gospel. You have to call upon the name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You got to call upon the name of the Lord. Believe that gospel. If you choose not to do that, that's a sin of omission. And I guarantee you this. If you die, you will die in your sins. That's the only way to get to heaven now, folks. And if you're a Christian here today, and you've been thinking of yourself higher than you ought to think of yourself, say, well, you know what, I don't smoke and I don't drink and I come to church on Sunday and I do this and I do that. Yeah, but how about the things that you don't do? How about the things you don't do? You realize you've got to confess those sins too to stay right with God. You've got to confess those sins too. Have you been committing the sin of omission? Have you not been doing what you know to do? If that's you tonight, you need to confess it before the Lord. Let's stand. Father, when we look at the scriptures and all the times that we see it mentioned of people not doing what they know to, the good things that they know to do, Lord, every time when we consider that as a sin, Lord, it is a humbling thing, Lord, that we're all guilty of. And Lord, I think it shows us, Lord, that we all have a long ways to go before we ever reach to where you want us to be in this life. Help us, Lord, with a humble heart come before you and ask forgiveness for these sins, Lord, that we've committed. The sins of not doing what we know we ought to do. And Father, I pray tonight if there's a person who's not saved, I pray, Lord, that they will not just sit there and do nothing. I pray that they will obey the gospel tonight and be saved. And if there are Christians tonight, Lord, that have been committing the sin of omission, and no doubt we've all done it, I pray, Lord, that we will start including those things in our prayers when we're confessing our sins to you. And rather than thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think of ourselves, Lord, I pray that we will see ourselves for the way we really are. And Lord, we're a mess. All of us are. And I'm so thankful, Lord, that you forgave us of our sins, past, present, and future. And Lord, I'm thankful that you died on the cross for those sins. And I'm thankful, Lord, that you keep us from falling. Because without it, Lord, we wouldn't stand a chance of the way we are. I pray tonight, Lord, that we will all make ourselves clean before you, Lord, and admit to those things that we should have done and didn't do. Speak to our hearts tonight, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord spoke to your heart tonight. I know he spoke to mine. When I was sitting there studying today, I was thinking to myself, all the things I do in a day's time the things that I don't do that I know I should. I just don't know how anybody could ever deny the fact that we are truly sinners and we've all come short of the glory of God. Are you guilty tonight of the sin of omission? We mess up all the time in doing the things that we ought not do. But it's so much more. We mess up so much more than that. If you're not saved, now's the time for you to be saved. Step out and do something. Do what the gospel tells you to do. Believe the gospel, because that's the gospel by which you're saved. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight and you'll be saved instantaneously. The only way you can mess it up is not do anything at all. Christian, is there somebody that you haven't been praying for that you know you should have been praying for? You've been witnessing like you should. You have a neighbor that's lost and you've been thinking about him all this time and saying to yourself, you know, I should have witnessed to him. I probably should have witnessed to him yesterday or should have witnessed to him last week, but you haven't done it yet. You know you're supposed to do it. Been praying for the unsaved? Been reading your Bible? Studying your Bible? Him knoweth do good and doeth not to him it is sin. Well, continue to pray for those folks that are not able to be here on a regular basis because of this COVID thing. And I really, Lord's really laid on my heart those folks because, you know, it's been a while since they've been in church. And you know, give them a call and talk to them. Let them know that you're praying for them. Let them know that you love them still and that, that we're praying that this whole thing ends so they can come back. Continue to pray for them and continue to keep those churches in California still in your prayers as well. Doesn't look like anything's getting any better there. All the people that we've been speaking about on the prayer list, the people that were spoken about this morning, let's continue to pray for them. That Wyatt who was in the motorcycle accident, let's continue to pray for him. Pray for those people on the prayer list. And folks, they really need us to pray for them. And you know, we have the ear of God. And boy, what a privilege that is to be able to pray to him anytime that we want to. I want to encourage you to pray more. Pray more. And speaking of that, men, don't forget men's prayer breakfast is this coming Saturday at 8 o'clock. And also be in prayer about the men's retreat coming up at the end of the month. All right, let's be dismissed in prayer. Brother Al, could you close us, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this evening that you've given us. We ask, Lord, as we examine ourselves, that, Lord, we would recognize the times that we don't do the things we